Good afternoon. If you'd like to be turning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we will pick up there in our lesson here this afternoon as we continue looking at this subject of the faithfulness of God. That song that we just sang was a really good lead into the lesson here this afternoon. Don't know how many times I've sang that song. I don't think I've sang it very often, but it really expresses in so many wonderful ways the faithfulness of God, and that's going to be the focus of our lesson again here this afternoon. When we talk about the faithfulness of God, we're talking about the fact that God is trustworthy, God is dependable, God can be counted upon, and that thus gives us confidence to trust Him and to submit to Him as we ought to. And as we think about the faithfulness of God and some things that that infers, one passage that references God's faithfulness that we didn't look at this morning is this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where we see that God's faithfulness ensures that a way of escape will exist with every temptation to sin that we face. There in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, the inspired apostle Paul says, "No temptation has taken you except what is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." And so we see here in this verse that, number one, with any temptation that we face, while there can be a tendency to think, well, nobody has ever faced the kinds of things that I'm facing, nobody has ever had these great of trials as what I'm going through, the reality is that no temptation has taken you except what is common to man. Others have faced it too, is another way that we might describe that. And whatever temptation we're facing, we know that it's something that we can bear, we can endure. And we know that with every temptation, there's also a way of escape. And the surety that we have of that is because of the fact that God is faithful. With anything that we may be faced with, if we're relying upon somebody to make sure that there is a means by which it can work out okay, if we're relying on somebody who maybe is not the most dependable, then we might come to wonder, is this really going to be able to work out okay? I'm going to do the best I can, but don't necessarily always have the greatest level of confidence if it's somebody that's not real dependable, who we're having to depend upon. But with relation to this way of escape, the one who we are depending upon to make sure that every time we are tempted to sin, there's a way that we can choose to take the path of righteousness, the one we're depending upon for that is God. And God is faithful. God is dependable. God is trustworthy. God's going to make sure that that way of escape is there. And thus, really, when one has the attitude of, I just can't help but sin, there's just no way that I can avoid it, as much as I may try, I just can't avoid the fact that whenever I sin, I just can't help myself, or something to that effect, what that is really doing, it might be looked at as a way of expressing humility, but what it's doing is it's really denying the faithfulness of God. Because God tells us, because of His faithfulness, we can know that we can help it, if you will. We can choose not to sin. None of us have ever made that choice perfectly on every occasion, but it doesn't mean that we don't have that ability with any temptation that we face to choose to take the way of escape. And it's interesting here also in this verse that it doesn't say that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, and then just stop there. That's not the promise that He gives. Temptations are going to come. Temptations came to our Lord, though He did nothing wrong and the Father was always with Him. Temptations are inevitably going to come. What God promises is, with the temptation that you face, there's going to be a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. That's something we have assurance of because of the faithfulness of God. But as we think about God's faithfulness to provide for us a way of escape, we could look at that more generally and say God is faithful to provide us with all that we need, with everything that we need in order to be all that God wants us to be. He is faithful to provide. I'm thinking about the psalm that is probably the most familiar psalm, Psalm 23, where David speaks about the Lord as his shepherd, and the Lord is our shepherd, and he uses this analogy of being sheep with God as our shepherd, watching over us, caring for us, protecting us. One verse in that psalm that really emphasizes God's provision, God providing all that we need, is verse 2 of that psalm, where it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Just like literal sheep need a shepherd to provide for them, we understand literal sheep are not going to be able to stay away from predators and make sure they have all the nourishment they need and all the rest and security and so forth. The same is true in a spiritual sense with us. We need a faithful shepherd who can be depended upon to provide for us, to care for us, to protect us, to give us security and rest and nourishment. And God is that faithful shepherd. He is the shepherd who provides us with everything that we need to be all that he wants us to be. And we might look at this in a little bit more specific way. He provides for us through everything he's done. He provides for us through what we often refer to as his providence. He provides for us through all the things that he's done through Jesus. But he provides for us the guidance specifically that we need to know how it is that we can be all that he wants us to be. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we have the note there that mentions that God has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God provides that to us. He makes sure that anything that pertains to life and godliness, it is granted unto us. And what that verse might be specifically making reference to is the instruction that he's given us, the guidance he's given us concerning how we can be right with him, how we can pursue the path of eternal life. That certainly has been provided in full through the word that God has given us. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17 references the scripture that is God-breathed that he has given us. It references the scripture there as being that which allows us to be truly furnished unto every good work. God is faithful to provide all of the guidance that we need. And again, just thinking about how great of a blessing this is, there's times where we may have a task to accomplish, and that which we're setting out to accomplish, whoever is responsible for providing us with guidance maybe gave us some of the instructions and maybe left some things for us to have to try to kind of figure out on our own that we may not really be able to fully figure out. God's not that way when it comes to things that pertain to life and godliness. He has made sure that everything that pertains to life and godliness is there for us to have full guidance provided. He is faithful to make sure that that is the case. Yes, he expects us to use our minds to understand how to apply the principles and so forth that he gives us. But if we want to understand how to be pleasing to him, we need not fear that there may be something out there that we don't have access to that we need to know in order to know that. God has faithfully revealed all of that to us, and that's something to be appreciative of that God can be depended upon for. But moreover, as we think about what God has revealed for us, the guidance that he's given us, not only can God be counted upon to provide us with all of the spiritual nourishment that we need, but that spiritual nourishment that he gives us, we understand is all ultimately for our good, because God is faithful to know what is right, to know what is best. He is faithful to have perfect wisdom and understanding so that we can trust the guidance, the instruction that he gives. In Isaiah 55 and verse 9, we have the reference there to the fact that just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. That's how far superior God's wisdom is to ours. And again, what a great blessing to have that, to know with this journey, if you will, that we're on of life, endeavoring to be what God wants us to be, to know that we can lean upon God, we can depend upon God as one who has a perfect understanding of everything that we face. We can know He is faithful to just perfectly understand what's best in every single situation that we face. And this gives great motivation for having the kind of meek attitude, the kind of trusting attitude that we see exhorted in passages like Proverbs 3 and verse 5, where the writer there in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 exhorts to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, that verse gives a command there. It gives instruction. But throughout the rest of Scripture, we see points made about God that help us to appreciate why it is that we ought to do this. We see things that should motivate us because we see in Scripture the faithfulness of God that leads us to be convinced God can be trusted because He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He always knows what is best. There's no outthinking, outsmarting God, improving upon His plan. There's no need to even try because we can just faithfully lean upon Him and the perfect instruction He's given and know that it is true, it is right, it is best because God is faithful to perfectly understand that. But one aspect of God's perfect understanding, His faithfulness to always know what is best, is that God can be trusted to always know what is best when it comes to the way that He chooses to answer prayer. And we see this exemplified in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, as the Apostle Paul there speaks about his thorn in the flesh. And we know that Paul, in sincerity, may have thought, if I have this thorn in the flesh taken from me, I could serve God better in some ways by having it removed. And Paul wasn't wrong for asking for it to be removed, for perhaps wondering, could I serve God better if this was removed? There's nothing wrong with Paul initially having that approach to it, but Paul came to realize God knows better. God understands this better than I do. And as he asked God three times for that to be removed, we understand that the answer in a nutshell was, no, I want you to have this thorn in the flesh, as it helped him to not be exalted above measure, as we see in verse 7 there of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we can see, exemplified with Paul's thorn in the flesh, that God is faithful to know what is best. And that's really a great, great blessing. If God only had the limited knowledge that we do, and He was only going based upon that with any request that we might make, if there were a situation where it would actually be a lot better for us for something to go one way, but we think it would be better for it to go a different way, and God was to only know what we do or only respond how we think would be best, prayer wouldn't be nearly as profitable as it is. But because God is faithful to always know what is truly best, and He is faithful to answer prayer in accordance with His wisdom, we have a great blessing knowing that our Father will help us in ways that are truly to our benefit as He deems appropriate. And that's something to really appreciate about the faithfulness of God. But God is also faithful to perfectly remember everything that we do in service to Him. And what I mean by this is expressed in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and in verse 10. As the Hebrews writer there in Hebrews 6 and verse 10 says, God is not unrighteous so as to forget your work and the labor of love which you showed toward His name, in that you serve the saints and still do serve them. God is not unrighteous so as to forget the work that we do in service to Him. If there's a situation in which we provide some help to somebody, and maybe their intention is to be mindful of that and at least show appreciation or do something in return for that, we realize that they may or may not remember, and that's okay. We should do good because we want to do good. But God is not like that. God is not forgetful in that way. It's not going to be a situation where we stand before the Lord on the day of judgment knowing that we allowed God's instruction to get into our heart and we did the best that we could to serve Him and to please Him. But I wonder if He's going to know that. I wonder if He's going to remember that. I wonder if He's going to be aware of that. God's faithful to remember. God's faithful to know. God's faithful to be fully aware. He's going to know perfectly. Every effort that we put forth to genuinely serve Him, He's aware of that. He's faithful to not forget, to perfectly remember everything that we do in service to Him. At the same time, God's faithfulness, God's trustworthiness assures that those who choose to reject Him are not going to outwit God. They're not going to trick God into thinking that they have submitted to His conditions for salvation when in fact they have not. We see this alluded to in Galatians 6 and verse 7. There in Galatians 6 and verse 7, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And the context there, it talks about the use of our material blessings and whether we use those things in ways that are pleasing to God or not. But that principle that's set forth in that verse could apply whether we're talking about use of our material blessings or anything in our service to God. God is not mocked. God's not going to be outsmarted. He's not going to be outwitted. We're not going to trick God into thinking that we've served Him faithfully or just hoping that He'll allow us to enter heaven, though we've not submitted to His terms. God is faithful to perfectly remember so that He is perfectly equipped to judge us righteously and to truly allow those who have submitted to His terms for forgiveness to spend eternity in heaven with Him while giving those who've chosen to reject Him over to their choice of spending eternity in hell. But considering all of these things that we've looked at here today about the faithfulness of God, there's such great motivation in these things for us to be who we need to be. When we think about what God expects of us, the fact that He is our Creator, He has authority over us, should make us say, well, I'm going to do what He says regardless. But beyond just the fact that God has said it, God gives us such great motivation in His Scripture by showing us so much about Himself. For instance, we see that we are to be people who set our trust in the living God. As the Apostle Paul alluded to in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, whenever he mentioned there, the American Standard Version says we set our hope in the living God. A lot of translations use the word trust there. We set our trust in the living God. But we are to trust God. And even if God did not give us so many reasons that He is trustworthy, He's told us to trust Him and we should do that. He's our Creator. He has that authority. But that's not the case. God has shown us in His Word so many reasons that we have such great motivation to trust Him. He's shown us how trustworthy He is so that we can understand we're not being called to set our trust in somebody who doesn't deserve this or in someone who is shaky and someone who don't really know if he can be should be depended upon or not. We're being called to set our trust in one who is perfectly faithful, one who is perfectly dependable. We have great reason to trust God because of who He is, because of His character. And that trust should lead us to be willing to obey whatever God asks of us, regardless of whether it's something that we fully comprehend or can fully see and understand the end of or not. We should have a level of trust because God is faithful. We know that whatever God's asked of us, even if we can't fully understand everything that He does on His end of the stick, we know, well, if God said it, that settles it. And we should just trust that and pursue the path that He has chosen for us. And I think a good example of that principle is seen with what's said about Abraham in Hebrews 11, specifically in verse 8, and really just in general with what's said about Abraham. But verse 8 says something here that I really want to hone in on that demonstrates this principle of the kind of attitude that is fitting for us to have in response to the faithfulness of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says there, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he went." Now, a lot of people may look at that as being a foolish thing if they don't know who God is. If they don't know the faithfulness of God, that might seem foolish for Abraham to go out not knowing where he went, just going out because God said it, so I'll do it. But Abraham trusted God. He believed God. He knew God is trustworthy. Even though I may not understand where I'm going, I may not know, if God said it, that's reason for me to have trust in this instruction and to submit to it, because God is trustworthy. God is faithful. We know that when he was called upon to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, and God understood what he was planning, that he wasn't planning for Abraham to go through with that, but when Abraham was called to do that, he didn't know really what God was going to do. It mentions that he thought maybe that God would raise him, or alludes to that fact, and in a figurative way, you might kind of almost say God did that, but he didn't understand the fullness of what God was going to do with that situation with Isaac, but he knew enough to know God is faithful, God is trustworthy. God's told me to do this. I believe God, and I'm going to do it because he is one whose word I can count on. I can take him at his word based upon his character. And there's great motivation for us, in consideration of God's faithfulness, to be faithful to him. Just as God can be counted upon, can be depended upon, to provide all of the help that he does, make sure we have all that we need, ever know what's best for us, be mindful of the good that we do for him, always provide a way of escape. He's faithful to give us all of these things. We should be faithful. We should be able for God to count upon us, depend upon us, to follow through with that which he expects of us. And this is alluded to in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's actually the last quality mentioned in verse 22 that I want to highlight. But in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we have there these nine qualities that make up the fruit of the Spirit, which the American Standard Version renders as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, the King James has the word faith there in place of faithfulness. And certainly we need to have faith, and we can be motivated by God's faithfulness to have faith in the sense of having an assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. God has proven himself trustworthy, so we should trust God. We should believe God because he's worthy of being believed. But it could also be that the intention there, faithfulness is the correct rendering, is to express the fact that we should be dependable. We should be people who God can count upon to be good stewards of the things that he's entrusted us with. When God gives us instruction, when God gives us a task, when God, for instance, sets a way of escape before us with the temptation that we face, we should be people who God can depend upon, can count upon, to look for that way of escape and pursue that way of escape. We should be faithful in that which God entrusts us with, and there's no greater motivation I can think of for that faithfulness God calls upon us for than to consider how faithful God is to us. God faithfully provides us with everything that we need. We can depend on him. We can count on him. He ought to be able to count on us to serve him faithfully and pursue that which he expects of us. One final passage I want to consider here this afternoon is Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. These verses are the basis for a song in our hymnals. It's number 23. I'm not sure if it's ever been sang here or not, but it's "Great is thy faithfulness." And that song expresses what we see brought out here in these two verses. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness is great. God is constant. He is steadfast. He is one who does not waver, he can be counted upon, he can be depended upon to ever do what is right, no matter what mankind chooses to do. And it does certainly affect God in the sense that God is greatly displeased when man chooses to reject him. He's greatly pleased when man chooses to accept him. And there's different things that he may do in responding and rendering judgments and so forth. But God is who he is regardless of how man conducts himself or not. God is ever perfect. God is ever righteous. God is ever just. God is ever faithful. And God can be trusted to make sure we're ever provided for. He can be trusted to make sure that if we want to pursue the path of salvation, it will be there for us, and we'll have everything that we need to pursue that salvation. And that's what we would exhort anyone who is here this afternoon who's not right with God for any reason to choose to do. Take advantage of that faithfulness of God while there is time and opportunity. None of us know how much longer we have here upon this earth. None of us know how much longer the earth is going to be here. We know because of the faithfulness of God that there's a guarantee the day of the Lord will come. If God were not faithful, then maybe that day will come, maybe it won't, but God is faithful. So we know the day of the Lord will come, and we need to be ready, considering that it could be today, it could be any day. But we want to take advantage of God's faithfulness while there is time and opportunity. And we'd exhort anyone who is here today who is not right with God to choose to make the correction in your life that you need to leave here as one who's right with him. If you're one who's never obeyed the gospel, you can do that by believing with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if you have that belief and you have a repentant heart, meaning you have a desire to turn your life around, give your life to God, that repentant heart and that belief, you can choose to confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins. We'd love to help you with that if you have that need and desire. If you're one who's a Christian with sin in your life, we'd exhort you to repent of that. Go to God in prayer, ask for his forgiveness. And if you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. So if you are here and you need to respond publicly to the gospel call, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?